have your Bible, turn me to the book of the Gospel of John, 20th chapter, we'll start with verse number 10. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down, looking into the sepulchre, and see two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposed him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him, tell me whence thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, that is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken those things unto her. This is the topic on today. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Now, in the text here, it says that Jesus told Mary not to touch him, for he had not yet ascended unto his Father, which is in heaven. The Bible is known in the book of Acts that Jesus seated at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus in the heavens making intercession for us. Jesus in heaven looking down over us to make sure that when we have sinned or when we have messed up or when we are weak, that we have an advocate with the Father, someone who looks out over us, someone who cares for us. That's where Jesus is in the heavens. But sometimes we tend to forget where Jesus is. Sometimes trials in life and tribulations we go through make us forget just where Jesus is. Here was Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is one that was spoken of in all four Gospels. Mary, we find that she was one of the ones that traveled with the disciples where Jesus went. Mary was one of the ones that saw the miracles that Jesus had performed. Mary was one of the ones that saw things being done by our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. But you find out that when Mary came to the sepulchre, she was asking the question, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And the very question that Mary had is the same question that oftentimes we have today when we're asking, where is Jesus? There are times we have problems in our home. We're asking, Jesus, where are you? There are times we have problems on our job. We're asking, Jesus, where are you? There are times we just have problems, period. We're asking, Jesus, where are you? Where is Jesus? We must understand why it is there are times we in our lives feel like Jesus is not there with us. Let me tell you this right here. If you cannot call upon Jesus in school, if you cannot call upon Jesus on your job, if you cannot call upon Jesus in your home, then you are just like Mary. You're asking Jesus, where are you? Because you don't know. If you don't know where he is, you can't call on him. And if you ever find yourself in a place where you don't call on Jesus, then you don't know where he is. If you find yourself in a place where you don't call on Jesus and you're in trouble and you don't call on Jesus and you have hard times and you don't call on Jesus, it's because you don't know where he is. Now, why do I say that? One thing the Bible teaches us is this right here. Jesus at the right hand of God the Father. Christ Jesus, when he was resurrected, he said, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So then, if you have a God that can do everything you ask of him, if you have a God that can deliver him, and you are going through and you don't call on him, then that says you don't know him. If you're going through, and what the word of God says is true about Jesus, and you are having a hard time, you are having trouble, you are having strife, and you don't call on him because you don't know him. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about when I was coming up, and there was this show on TV called Bewitched. And they said they were really trying to make fun of me with that show called Bewitched. They said because, they said, who was man? It was during the time, you know, it was women, equal rights for women, and they was trying to really get it up and going then. And so they said in the show, they was trying to portray that in the show. They said, here was man. They had a woman, somebody twitching her nose, could give him any and everything he wanted, and he didn't take advantage of it. Because he was too much of a buffoon to understand what he had there for him. That's the very same thing that I'm saying about Jesus. If you say you know the Jesus in the scriptures, if you say you know the God of our salvation, there is no reason on your job, in your home, in your family, that you shouldn't be calling on Jesus. Where is Jesus? What is it then that keeps us from calling on Jesus during times of stress? I'm on my job. They're going to dismiss me from my job. They're going to fire me from my job. My husband talking about walking out, leaving me. My children won't come home at night. What is it that we need to know that keeps us from calling on Jesus instead of calling the cops, instead of calling the doctor, instead of calling all these other authorities rather than calling upon Jesus? And a lot of us, that's where we are. When we're in trouble, the first one we turn to is not Jesus, but the first one we turn to is the authority of man. Well, that's the one I need to call. I need to call the doctor. I need to call the, my head is throbbing. I need to call the doctor. Or my that man come up threatening me. I need to call the police. When do you call on Jesus, the one that says he can do any and everything for you? Where is Jesus? Here we find Mary. The other disciples have left and gone. Mary comes in the 11th verse, and she looks into the sepulchre weeping. And says she saw two angels. Now, first of all, this right here. If you want to know where Jesus is, look at what Jesus has done for you. Let me say it again. If you want to know where Jesus is, look at what Jesus has done for you. Now, the only way that you truly know that Jesus has done something for you is that you've given your life to him. If you have not given your life to the Lord Jesus, you think things happen to you in life is simply by accident or coincidence. Well, the reason I got the man of my dreams because, you know, I just look good. Well, you know, the reason I got that job because I was smart. Well, you know, the reason I went to school because I got good grades when I was in high school. Well, the reason why I excelled in sports because I have athletic talent. No, you don't know. And if you don't know why you excel or why you got what you got, then you don't know what Jesus is doing in your life, and you will never see his hand moving in your life. You will always attribute it to something else. The Bible said it's in him we live, it is in him we move, and it's in him we have our being. I know that everything in life that I have that's good comes from God above. I know that there's no merit or effort on Sylvester's part that brought these things about. I know that it was God. Amen. See, some of us thinking, you know, it's our smarts, it's our good looks. It's how glib our tongues are. We can talk ourselves in and out of anything. A lot of us think that's what got us where we're going. And you don't know where Jesus is. Amen. when you give your life to the Lord Jesus. He changes your perspective on life and he gives you a witness that truly Jesus is the Son of God. Now, Mary. Here's Mary. Looking in the tomb and she sees two angels. Now, if I'm looking at two angels now, in the tombs, I already know, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell me, Lord? Here was Mary, saw two angels, and still asking the question, where is Jesus? God has done things in your life. God has moved miraculously. God has worked things out. God has healed your body. God has brought peace to your mind. God has even paid some of your bills. And still you're asking, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And the reason why you're asking the question, because you have forgotten who Jesus is and what he's already done for you. Mary. The same Mary Magdalene. This is the same one that Jesus, our Lord, cast seven demons out of. Not one, not two, not three, four. Seven demons. Now, if you had seven demons on you, in you, talking through you, and he comes and casts out, you would think that you would know who Jesus is at all times. And some of us, we've been in some bad situations. Things we thought we would never get out of. Things we thought we would never overcome. Things we thought we could never get through. And Jesus came in and showed us, here I am. Let me show you out of this situation. Let me show you how to get through this thing in your life. But yet we forget. We forget. Seven demons cast out. And looking at two angels. And she's asking, where is Jesus? Same way some of us are. Why would this happen? Why would you still question after God's done so much for you? You know why? The other reason why. Because you believe the word of others more than you believe the word of God. The Bible said, after Christ Jesus was buried, the Pharisees went to Pilate and said, Pilate, let us secure the sepulcher, lest his disciples come and steal his body and take it away, and at last it be worse than the first. So, because the world didn't know who Jesus was, they said, well, what we can do, we can keep him in. Let's seal the temple and put guards around it. And they begin spreading the word. And so what happened? Mary heard. And Mary said, you know what? They said they had to put guards around it to keep folks from stealing the body. So maybe somebody came and stole the body. That's where we are. We start believing what the world says rather than what the word of God says. Oh, you know... Jesus can't help you now. You better go get some medical help. You better go and talk to somebody. Why you call on Jesus? Where was he when you went through the last time? They'll tell you all this stuff to get you to doubt what God's word says. Matthew 4:4, our memory verse on today. Christ Jesus our Lord said this right here. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You're trying to live out what your friends told you. You're trying to know what your grandmama and your granddaddy told you. You're trying to live out what your best friend told you. But I'm here to tell you that what you should live by is the word of God. It's going to sustain you, it's going to keep you, and it's going to help you. But you know, somebody told you. Well, you know, Jesus, he's just one of many ways to God. You don't need to believe in Jesus for salvation. There are many ways to go. I know when I was in elementary school, we used to have devotion services. And during those devotion services, we would have pray and we would read from the Bible. Well, they stopped there. And then going the rest of my time in elementary school, middle school, and high school, I didn't hear the name of Jesus mentioned anymore. And so I grew up thinking, well, you know that Jesus was just a place for the church. And that's what a lot of you think. Only time you talk about Jesus when you're in church. Only time you talk about the goodness of the Lord is when you're in
in church. When you're on the street corner hanging with your buddies, you don't talk about Jesus. When you're in a grocery store, you don't talk about Jesus. When you're in the classroom, you don't talk about Jesus. The only time you talk about him is when you're in church. Where is Jesus? Is he truly Lord of your life? And so because Father doesn't believe that stuff, he said, well, you know what? Well, you know, since they're not talking about Jesus in elementary school, in middle school, and high school, since they're not talking about it in college, then maybe that's just that little church thing. I remember my son, before he decided to give his life to the Lord Jesus, he used to wear a cross around his neck, talking about that's my Jesus piece. And that's what we do. We want to show we know something about him, but he's not in us. We go to church, but he's not real to us. We go to church and we talk about him, but as far as making a change in our life, where is Jesus? Your conversation. See, people, and I call to this thing right here. When people don't write letters now like they used to. They send emails now. People think that when Paul wrote these letters, these epistles, when the apostles wrote these epistles, a lot of folks think that they sat down to write the Bible. Well, I'm writing this because it's going to be a book in the Bible. No, they didn't. They were writing to people just like we write to each other now. But if you look at the scriptures, how they wrote, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. I pray that it's well with you. You look at these epistles. These were regular letters. They don't sit now, okay, now, I know about 2,000 years later now, they're going to need to put together a Bible. So let me make this thing sound very spiritual. So when they read it, they'll know that it's a Bible. No, they was writing just like everyday. That's the way they spoke. And for John Sylvester, why are you talking about Jesus all the time? Sylvester, why are you talking about God all the time? Because if you know where he is, if you know where he is, you would too. Paul knew, Peter knew. They knew where Jesus was. They knew. But when we don't know, then we don't know how to deal with people on a daily basis. So we start thinking that, you know, that because the school said that Jesus is not the only way, then I got to believe that. And what about the folks in China? What about the folks in India? What about all the folks all over the world? What about them? And you allow folks to move you away. That's what Mary did. She believed what the world said about Jesus more than what the Word of God said about Jesus. And when you start believing what the world says about Jesus more than what the Word of God says about Jesus, then you don't know where he is. You don't know. So she looked in. And because the world told her things that she believed rather than what the Word of God said. So you go to the hospital and you get healed. Rather than coming out and talking about how much God healed you, you're talking about, well, I got a good doctor. And I'm not taking anything away from your doctor. That's right. I got a good doctor. You got a job. I'm not taking anything about the person hired you on that job. But you know you won't qualify for that job that you got. See? See? You know you won't qualify. No. You got that job. And then you're talking about, oh yeah, yeah. No, won't your smarts. That house you got. All your bills being paid. You know that all the time you were struggling. You know I kind of rub two, what did they say, nickels together, or pennies together, whatever. You know you had a tough time. And you look at it and say, well, how did I get out of that? You know that it was God that brought you through that. Thank you. But the world has fooled you, made you to believe, nah, something I did myself, and that's why you don't know who is. So that's the first thing. The world can persuade you. And they said, a woman, why weepest thou? In the 13th verse. She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. I don't know where they've laid him. Other thing what we've done. The reason why we don't know where Jesus is, because we've given our authority over to others. She said, they have taken. Now, God didn't tell her that. This was something she has herself volunteered and said, they have taken. The authority God has placed within you, the Bible said, you should cast out serpents. I mean, lay hands on serpents, they should not harm you. You should cast out demons. Lay hands on sick, they shall recover. God said he gives us power, he gives us authority. Now, if God has given us power and authority, why do we walk like we don't have an authority and power? Because we don't know where Jesus is. Oh, I wouldn't go there in that neighborhood. I have folks on my job afraid to come to Durham. Oh, man.
That's a bad place in Durham. I wouldn't go to Durham. You live in Durham? How do you live in Durham?
I know somebody couldn't get a ride, get dropped off in Durham because they said, I don't go to Durham. Durham is a bad place.
When you understand the authority that God has placed in you, but when you give that authority away, you don't know where Jesus is.
This is what happened. They gave it away. She gave it away.
Said they have taken him out. Who told you they took him away? Who told you you couldn't lay hands on the sick and they recover? Who told you you couldn't pray for your family members and they come to know the Lord Jesus? Who told you you couldn't understand? Who told you that? It wasn't God that told you that. That authority that God has placed within you, you've given it away.
I was in India. And the man came up and said, I need prayer. My head is. I said, let me pray for you. The guy prayed for the guy. And I said, aren't you healed? He shook his head. I said, let me pray for you again then. And he said, no. In India, when they shake their head, that means yes.
I thought he was telling me, no, he wasn't healed. And that's where a lot of us are. God is moving. God is healing. But we're giving away what God has given to us because we believe what the Word says. The world says rather than what God says.
Where is Jesus? So you don't believe. Because you've given your authority away. You don't believe where he is.
And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus and knew not that it was Jesus. She supposed him to be the gardener in the 15th verse. Said to him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me whence thou hast laid him and I will take him away. If thou can tell me where they laid him. Now, the other reason why we don't know where Jesus is, because we think we can't control Jesus. A lot of us use Jesus like a credit card. All right, I need this here. I'm going to swipe it. Shoot. All right, I've got what I want now. I'm putting them away, putting them back up.
Can you tell me so I can go and get it? No, you. The one who died for you, the one that cast the demons out of you, the one that raised from the dead, you're going to tell me you want, let me go so I can take his body. You are taking too much authority. You think you have control.
A lot of us folks come to church now, and I tell them anytime they're here, hey, the pastor is not above the word of God.
Nobody is above the word of God. There are some folks that have you to believe it because they say they're a pastor, they're a bishop, because I'm the prophet. You can't say anything against me. I'm here to tell you, if God's word speaks it, then that's so. You can't change the word of God. Nobody is above the word of God. Nobody.
She thinks, tell me where his body is. Wait a minute. You're going to go and take the body? The Lord Jesus, did you believe what he said? That I'm going to die, but the third day I'm going to rise again? Did you believe what he said? Oh, yeah, God, yeah, you did those things for me. Yeah, you blessed my marriage. Yes, you blessed my home. Yeah, you healed my body. Yes, you gave me money. You gave me finance. But God, now, I just don't know. I just don't know if I can believe in you now, Lord. I just don't know. And God, these folks, they pray all the time. It doesn't take all that. These folks, they go to church all the time. It doesn't take all that. So you're trying to change who Christ is to somebody. Instead of saying, if that's what it takes for you, then you go on with the Lord Jesus. I'm not trying to change anybody. I'm just trying to show you, introduce you to somebody called Christ Jesus who can change anybody.
Thank you.
Where is his body so I can claim him? Let me show you where Jesus is. Let's go to John 17 chapter.
John 17 chapter. And we're going to see what Jesus speaks about. John 17 chapter. 14 chapter. This is how you know where Jesus is. John 14 and 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Where is Jesus? He's in the believer. If you don't know that Jesus is in you, if you don't know where Jesus is, it's because you have not accepted him. Let's go up a little bit higher. In the 8th verse, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that have seen me have seen the Father. And how sayest thou, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The work that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Christ said, how do you know where Jesus is? Number one way you know is by asking God for help and assistance. I don't care how bad the situation may be. I don't care what you may be going through. The Bible says there is nothing too hard for God. I love it when I have challenges. I love it when things are coming up against me, because that's the time when God wants to show himself who he is in my life. That's the reason why you have challenges in your life. That's why you have struggles in your life. God wants to put you in a place where you're calling on him. Why am I going through this? I just went through this and I'm going through it again. Why is this happening to me? Because God said, I want to prove myself to you. I want to show you who I am in your life so that you know where I am. And God realizes that most of us are not going to pray unless we have struggles, unless we have trials, unless we have temptations. If things are going good for us, we're not praying. If we got everything we want, we're not praying. And so God has to allow storms to come in your life to put you back in your knees so you can find out where Jesus is. So you can find out what Jesus will do for you. So you can find out that you are not in control of anything, but that Jesus is the one that's in control. Let's go down a little bit further. 19th verse, the same chapter. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. That day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Wait a minute. What did he say Jesus was? At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Jesus said it's going to be in us. Where is Jesus? So when you're down praying, Jesus, where are you? All you have to do for you that have accepted Christ Jesus is look within. When you are having a hard time in your life, you don't know, I don't
don't know what I'm going to do. You had to pull the hair out of your head. And you're saying, Jesus, where are you? And all you have to say is, look within. Jesus said, I will be in you. And we don't understand that Jesus is right there. Why is he in us? He's there to give us hope. He's there to give us peace. He's there to show us how to love. He's there to keep us. Jesus, where are you? I'm in you. I'm in you. I'm in you. I'm in you. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. I'm there to comfort you. I'm there to bring you peace. I'm there to bring you up. I'm there to bring you out. I'm there to bring healing to your body. Jesus said, that's where I am. I'm in you. We're looking at, we're buying books and buying all kinds of books. Jesus, I'm trying to find you. Going to all kinds of places. Jesus, I'm trying to find you. And you don't know that where you go when you get saved, Jesus is in you. So when you go to church, you're taking Jesus with you. When you're driving a car, you're taking Jesus with you. On your job, you're taking Jesus with you. In your home. Because Jesus is in you. And some of you look at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's because you haven't been saved. You haven't given your life to the Lord Jesus. Because when Jesus is in you, there is something that stirs on the inside. When Jesus is in you, there is something. The music's not even playing, but you feel a melody in your heart. When Jesus is in you, there's Jesus on your body. On your body. But the air conditioner's not on. When Jesus is in you. Oh, the worst things in the world can be happening around you, but you got a smile on your face when Jesus is in you. And say, Lazarus, but I don't see that. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've been experiencing. You don't know what's happening to me. And I say, you're just like Mary Magdalene. God's done all these things for you, but you don't know who Jesus is. Because when you understand and you believe his word, then you know that he's in you. He's in you. Where is Jesus? Let the problems come our way. The Bible said all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. God are called according to his purpose. I don't care how bad it may look, how bad it may appear. God says working for my good. Why? Because Jesus is in me. And if Jesus is in me, I know Jesus not taking any junk. Where is Jesus? Struggling with life. Where is Jesus? And I mean, and I think it's so sad. See, folks in church with their heads hung down. See, folks in church wondering, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't care how bad today may be. I have hope that my tomorrow is going to be better. Why? Because Jesus is in me. Why do you go where you go, Sylvester? Why do you do what you do, Sylvester? Because Jesus is in me. Yeah. Sylvester, you need to stop talking about Jesus on the job. Now, I said, see, some of us are crazy. Some of you are crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm on my job where folks have their MBAs, CFA designations. One guy was going for his doctorate degree. And I'm up there doing the very same thing they do with a 2-year degree. Wait a minute now. What are you doing there with them doing what they do? Making the same kind of money they're making. Wait a minute. What are you doing making that kind of money? Because I know that it's the Jesus in me. I know where Jesus is. So when they come telling me to stop talking about Jesus, I lift them up even more because I realize that I am where I am simply because of Jesus. And a lot of you don't know that you are where you are because of Jesus in your life. A lot of you think it's something that you've done. Oh yeah, I got Dr. Sylvester Williams up there. Because folks saw the Jesus in me. That's how. Let me, Dr. Williams. I'm here to tell you, when you understand what God will do in your life, when you understand that Jesus in you is the hope of glory, when you understand that Jesus is there, you should never be asking where Jesus is. You better believe this right here. that when you accept Jesus on your life, in your life, he's going to give you a Mary Magdalene experience. He's going to give you a point where you wonder, oh, all hope is lost. They killed him. They've taken him away. And Jesus, all he's trying to do is prove, well, where are you and me? Do you truly believe what the word said? And the Bible said that Mary was looking at, saw the angel, she didn't believe. Mary saw the tomb empty, she didn't believe. And the Bible said that Jesus finally spoke up to her and she said, Rabboni!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mary came back to her senses. Mary understood that all that you told me is true. Everything you said is true, Lord. You said you're going to get him out of the grave. See, when she saw Jesus, she no longer had any doubts about where he was then, because she knew your word is true. What you said is true. Is that what it's going to take for you to know that where Jesus is? Does he have to come down and raise you from the dead for you to know? Does he have to afflict your body with cancer for you to know? Does he have to break up your marriage, your home for you to know? Does he have to afflict your children with sickness for you to know? What does it take for you to know that Jesus is in you? And that's all he wants. He wants that affirmation from your own mouth that you know that Jesus is in you. That's all he wants. He wants you to proclaim it and to tell it. You wonder, why things not going my way? Why one thing after the other? Because Jesus is trying to get your attention. Mary, there, not understanding. Jesus had to appear to her again. And see, and this is the way we are. When Mary saw Jesus this time, she wanted to go and grab him and hold him and touch him. Because, oh, I can't believe it. Just like you said, that's what we are. When God comes to show and reveal himself to us, we get so excited. Oh, Lord! You're real, God.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. God, yes, I've always been real. I've never stopped being real.
Right.
You are the one that didn't understand. But here I am. Mm-hmm. That's where I am. Mm-hmm. And that's where I will be. Where is Jesus? Amen. And you know how you know where Jesus is in your life? How much do you talk about? That's how you tell where he is.
That's right.
See, every married person in here, at some point in their life, talks about their spouse.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes it's good.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good. Every married person in here that has children, they talk about their children.
Amen.
Whether they are good or whether they are good.
That's right.
Why? Because it's a part of you. And anything that is a part of you, you don't mind talking about it.
That's right.
But if you don't talk about Jesus, if you can't share him with others, if you can't tell of his goodness and what he's done for you, then you have to ask yourself, where is Jesus? I know you come to church. I know we went to church service the other week. A little girl, about maybe 2 years old, and when the music would start up, that little girl would get in the aisle. And she started shouting. 2 years old. I think she's younger. About a year old. Could barely walk. Up there shouting, just like that. And you know what? That's just like what some of us are. We come to church, we learn the church language. We can say, Jesus Savior. We can say, Jesus is Lord. We can say all, we can know how to say these words. But he's still not in us. And the reason why he's not in us, by the very things we say out of our mouth, the very life that we live, shows that he's not in us. So we've got to ask ourselves, where is Jesus? If you don't know where Jesus is, you can know him today. All it takes is opening up your heart
and saying, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I saw the things you were doing for me, Lord. And I saw the many miracles you worked in my life, Lord. And I know I would not be where I am now, but God, somewhere along the way, I lost sight of you. I forgot where you were. But Lord, I want to know where you are today. Is there one? I ask you to stand.